The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL. Podcast One Sportsnet is your home for the best coverage of the Final Four in this year's March Madness. Get all the play-by-plays and top-notch analysis from sportscasting gurus like Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen. Then put in your bets with betting expert RJ Bell on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. And laugh out loud with the biggest name in the game, literally on the big podcast with Shaq. Download new episodes of these shows and more every week on Podcast One Sportsnet. Hey guys, Steve Palazzolo here. As you know, we're in the heart of one of the greatest sports events on the calendar. You guessed it, March Madness. And the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage, that's CBS Sports HQ. What is CBS Sports HQ? It's the free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you and me. I watch it every day, and here's why. You don't get any of the hot takes, fake debates, or politics like other sports networks. Just the stuff that matters, like nonstop highlights, news and analysis, no matter when I tune in. And if you enjoy fantasy or placing some bets like I've been known to do, their experts are always dishing out picks to help me win. So check out CBS Sports HQ. It's always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Just download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today. Welcome into the PFF NFL podcast. Steve Palazzolo here with Mike Renner. And we're live, Mike.
Yes.
On YouTube.
Live. Hello, everybody.
Is this your first live podcast?
No, we've done one before.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay, because you scare me live.
Oh, I know. I scare myself. I've done some bad things on the podcast that we've had to edit out for, so.
Yeah, you've got the most edits in PFF history. We track everything here. You've got the most. No? Oh, it's George. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Matt, our producer over here, says it's definitely George. He actually didn't say that. He just shook his head with a face where I knew he meant it's George.
Yeah.
But you're number two, so we just got to be careful here. We're live on YouTube, and we're going to have some fun today, Mike. We're going to go head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
Head-to-head mock draft. We'll switch off picks. We've got one little quirk, right? We wanted to keep the Raiders consistent.
Yes, I want to be the GM of the Raiders. So I take the Raiders down at 27 because I have the evens. You have the odds. I take the Raiders down at 27. You get the Chargers at 28.
Okay, great.
So we flip those.
And we're keeping this. All right, so what am I looking at here? You've got the document handy.
I have our big board on the left.
Oh, you have them all side by
side. Draft order on the right with our names.
That's a nice little document you created here.
We're ready to roll. Okay. And we're going to be taking 10 minutes a pick, just like the NFL
gets. Yes, 10 minutes.
So this is going to take the next 3.5 hours.
It's a 3.5 hour podcast.
Yeah.
That's what it is. We'll have fake, you know, Rich Eisen, Mike Mayock discussion in between. And then Mike's going to have like the, you know what? I think the next pick might be Nick Bosa. I just think Nick Bosa is the guy you could go. With the first pick, Nick Bosa. That's how they did it.
Well, kick it off, Steve. You do have the first pick. You are technically on the clock. So,
all right. No more setting it up. You ready? We are live. We're doing this right now. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. We'll have a little bit of discussion about our picks and where we're going.
Yes.
But no surprise here. I already knew. We got the contract in place. I'm going with Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma. And because this is audio, Mike, let's be real specific. Make sure we mention the position, where they went, and all that stuff. Kyler Murray is my pick. He's off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona Cardinals, number one overall. We're doing this based off of what we would do, right?
Yes, what we would do.
Okay,
what
so we're the GM.
We are the GM of every team.
So I'm picking Kyler Murray. There are some rumors that Nick Bosa is the guy now.
Mm-hmm.
There are some rumors creeping up. But I'm taking Kyler Murray, number one overall for the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll figure out the Josh Rosen trade later.
I would say cannot go wrong with that. He is the number one player on our big board if you want to follow along with our top 50 big board. It is up on the website, so go ahead and follow along with that. But yes, number one player at the most valuable position, a position that, I mean, even though they drafted one in the first round last year, you can still say they need one because they don't have a good one that is proven to be good yet. So he's position of still need. So you take a shot again. If you think Kyler Murray really is better than Josh Rosen, go get your guy.
So that's what we're doing. I think the upgrade is strong enough there. Kyler should be the play. And I think that I don't know if it makes the 49ers happy because they have to play against Kyler Murray, but in a vacuum, the 49ers are probably happy with where it leaves them from an option standpoint.
I was going to say, Nick Bosa is probably the number one player on the 49ers draft board at the moment in terms of need, value, how good he is as well. I mean, he's about as safe a thing as it gets in this draft. So Nick Bosa is going to be my pick for number two overall with the 49ers. No trades here.
Are you typing in your picks?
I'm cutting and pasting them from the left there.
Are you going to cut them? Okay, so they're good. So they'll disappear off the board.
Yeah, so they'll disappear off the board. So
smart.
Nick Bosa, edge defender. I mean, highest pass rushing win rate in all of college football over the past two seasons. He had a higher pass rushing win rate as a true freshman than guys like Montez Sweat, Cleveland Farrell. I mean, he is a legitimate sure thing. As far as sure things go, if he stays healthy on the NFL football field, he is going to be a productive NFL player for my money.
Yeah, and pass rush is the easiest thing probably to project, especially if guys do it at a high level in college when you pair it with athleticism and the various ways that you can break guys down. So Nick Bosa to the 49ers, good selection there. So now I'm on the clock with the New York Jets at three. And in a real life scenario here, this is like trade down world, please. I want to trade down so badly as the Jets general manager, because this is a tough decision here. And I think the Jets are in a place where they need to trade down and just accumulate picks, offset what happened with Sam Darnold last year and the fact that they gave up a few picks to go get him, which was the right move, which was fine. But I don't think there's a clear fit here. Mm-hmm. I'm debating between Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama, and Josh Allen and Quinnen Williams. Josh Allen, the edge from Kentucky, Quinnen Williams from Alabama. This is my old best player available world. Do I put it to a test with Quinnen Williams?
I think you do. I don't think that nose tackle there or interior player there is not necessarily a need for them. You can put Henry Anderson at defensive end if you really want to after they re-signed him, and Leonard Floyd at three technique and let Quinnen Williams hit the
Leonard
nose.
Williams, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, but that's what I'm saying. In my world, I would usually go best player. I'd usually go Quinnen Williams. But Jonah Williams at tackle fits a need. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen at edge certainly fits a need. It's like I'm cheating on myself. I'm going to go
Steve,
with Josh Allen from Kentucky.
Okay.
Because I think he's a top five grade for us, just like Jonah Williams and Quinnen Williams. I'll cut him. Should I cut him?
Yep, cut him.
Cut and paste. The Josh Allen,
cutting
edge
is
defender.
Like handing in the,
that's the card. That's the card. Okay, so we're doing this. This is really live and dynamic over here. How many millions are watching right now, Matt?
What do
five.
We, do?
We have 5 million watching. Whatever YouTube says is watching, it's actually 5 million. Their counter's off. There's a lot of pressure on us right now. So we're three picks in, going Josh Allen with the New York Jets.
Number five overall player on our big board. I think it's well worth the pick. I think
you
he
like
has
that?
In terms of the in terms of just athletic ability. He has as much as any edge defender in this draft class. I know his testing wasn't necessarily off the charts, but at 6'5", 260, he has the most in terms of like coordination, the smoothest athlete at the edge position in this class, and is safe in terms of he can be an off-ball linebacker and cover. He can do things in coverage that a lot of off-ball linebackers in this class can't do in coverage. If you really can't rush the passer, if that really doesn't translate to the NFL, I still think his coverage will translate to the NFL. So he can play off-ball and be that guy in your defense like an Anthony Barr if you want.
Yeah, so the Jets were ready to sign Anthony Barr. He backed out at the last second. Josh Allen is very close to Anthony Barr from a skill set standpoint. We'll see if the Jets actually want to use him that way. Actually, the Bucs at five would have been a great fit for, I think, what they want to do defensively now. But I had to take him. Had to take him with the Jets.
Had to take him. And then this one to me, after you take that very easy decision for Raiders at four, Quinnen Williams on the board there. Need anyone basically along the defensive lines in need at this point for the Oakland Raiders. Quinnen Williams, the Alabama defensive tackle, freakishly athletic, freakishly productive, highest single season grade we've ever given to a defensive tackle in our college grading system. So that, to me, fantastic pick. Fantastic sway this draft looks like it's going to play out with a quarterback going above where the Raiders are picking. They're going to be getting a good player at four.
That, so the Raiders, if they have a strength on the defensive line, though, is also on the interior. So that's not, that's, that swayed
me
a little
strength,
bit.
I mean,
they're not,
they
great
have Maurice
there.
Hurst. It's like that's about, it's hardly a strength.
Nobody on your roster is going to keep you from drafting
exactly.
Quinn Williams. So I shouldn't have taken the odds here, because now I have the Bucs at five.
Yeah, you got all the tough ones.
This is my least favorite pick in the entire draft. If I'm the Bucs GM, I never would have re-signed Donovan Smith at left tackle. So I would have, and then I would have drafted Jonah Williams to play left tackle at Alabama. So that would be my pick. But because he's locked up, there's still some question marks at guard. And DeMar Dotson at right tackle, like, you know, again, he's not going to keep me from drafting Jonah Williams. So Jonah still might be my guy. But the way, because Jonah is the only guy that we have at the top five grade.
Yes.
Left on the draft board. Then we start to get into top tens. So now I might need to resort back to my best player available strategy. If we're talking, now best player available is also, you know, fit, I'm sorry, scheme fit, positional value. It's all factored in there as well. So doesn't Ed Oliver potentially fit here for the Bucs? Does Jerry Tillery fit here based off of our board? I don't think Byron Murphy at corner, who we like, is a great fit. I'm going to go Jonah Williams.
Got to go Jonah Williams.
I'm going Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama. He could play guard, not because his arms are short, just because he could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's obviously starting tackle potential there. And that's, you know, going by the board, that's the guy that I think is the fit for the Bucs.
Yeah, I think right guard still a need. It's not like they have a fully complete offensive line at the moment. Caleb Benenach is your starting right guard if the season were to start today. DeMar Dotson is 33 years old. So Jonah Williams, start right guard right away. Be the heir apparent at right tackle.
Play right tackle, which is a valuable position, just as valuable as left tackle.
Yes, and so to me, if he is the top player on your board, if you're the Bucs, they're sitting at five. You know, grade-wise, he's the top player on your board. It's still a player who can make an impact right away and is a will be at a valuable position at some point in his career if you're moving him to right tackle. So I do think from that perspective, it makes
feels
a lot
like
of sense.
It's unexciting for Bucs fans.
Yes,
I think anytime you get a guard slash tackle in the top 10, it's unexciting for the fans. But I think it's the right move here.
I agree. Now I'm on the clock at number six with the New York Giants, and I will be 100% honest with you. I don't think this is the year I want to take a quarterback after Kyler Murray. This is not the year if I'm the New York Giants. I know that you need to get a guy at some point, but Dwayne Haskins at number six, you're penciling him in for a few years, and I just don't quite see it with Haskins. I'm not ready to make him the guy.
I thought this was slam dunk Dwayne Haskins for you.
And so I'm going to go offensive line to improve whoever does end up being the quarterback, because it's pretty much a tank year for the Giants this upcoming season. Whoever does end up being my quarterback, because with talent on that roster, they'll be at the top. You can't always say you're going to be in the top 10, but I think with the talent on that roster, you can pretty much safely pencil them in to the top 5 to 10 picks in 2020. So then at that point, you'll be in a position to get a quarterback that year, get an offensive line and go around. I'm picking Juwan Taylor, right tackle, out of Florida, because right tackle is the need there for the Giants. Right tackle is where it's open. I'm going Juwan Taylor.
Oh, talk about I was saying the Bucs fans are going to be unexcited. Matt just left the room. Giants fans just left the room. He's really angry right now. You just drafted
Matt,
a right tackle at 6.
You have one of the best. You went from a terrible, terrible offensive line to now possibly one of the best offensive lines in all of the NFL in the next couple of years. You would hate to have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL when you do finally get your chance at a franchise quarterback. I don't think that's a terrible pick there.
You're okay with the Giants? You think the Giants tank a little bit? I mean, they're going to have another top 10 pick, and then they get into the Tua sweepstakes next year, or
Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Really?
Yep. That's where I'm at now if I'm the Giants.
Because
if you reach for the guy right now, yes, he can have a year to develop behind Eli if you still want to be with Eli, but I just don't think Haskins is enough for me to go out on a limb. With all the talent he had around there at Ohio State, you would have liked him just to have been better than he was. I mean, the stats look great because he had so much talent around him. Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, you know, KJ Wright, even, who's going to be next year. I think there's not KJ Wright.
Fascinating. So I'm trying to map out where Dwayne Haskins is going to go. over these next few picks. I think I have an idea. I'm the Jaguars now at 7.
Yeah.
You already made me sign Nick Foles. I would take Dwayne Haskins here, though.
Okay.
If I wasn't tied to Nick Foles.
You are tied
to Nick
Foles.
I'm too tied to him, right?
Yeah.
Do we have an out in this contract after? Is there like an out, like a 15-day out?
No, there's no
out that I can. Okay.
Money back guarantee, 30-day.
So now I'm stuck. I'm stuck with Nick Foles. I have to build somewhere on the offensive side of the ball here. I can't believe I'm going to do this because I'm going to do the thing that we said is going to happen here, I think.
You're going to do it.
I think DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, is on the board here. Even though he's not a perfect prospect, might be a perfect fit for Nick Foles. You know, if Nick Foles is going to take me as the Jaguars GM to the promised land, I need DK Metcalf and a bunch of other guys like that. Have to start somewhere, building those playmakers around him. I can't believe the way this draft is flowing here. It's a strong defensive draft, and here I am going against my nature.
DK.
I'm taking DK Metcalf.
He's in. DK Metcalf, number 7 today. I think it's a very realistic also.
Yeah.
About what happens in this draft.
Well, you keep saying the Jaguars at 7, the Bills at 9 are two teams to build around Nick Foles, to build around Josh Allen. DK is a great fit for what they already have, what they need to maximize two quarterbacks who have pretty good arms to drive the ball down the field, and he has to be that guy. So that's what we're doing. That's leaving some pretty good defensive talent on the board and bringing you up at 8, Detroit Lions.
Bring me up at 8, Detroit Lions. And this is one we've penciled in a handful of times, one I think I'd still take if I am then. And it's Greedy Williams, because what he can do from a press man perspective.
Cornerback from LSU. So
LSU cornerback.
I'm seeing this live. Now, if you're on ProFootballFocus.com looking at our draft board live, you'll see that Byron Murphy, the corner from Washington, is actually ranked above Greedy Williams from LSU. Explain why you would go Greedy over Byron in this case.
Because Greedy is at his best in press man coverage. Byron Murphy's much more of an all-around corner, much better in off-coverage, zone coverage. That's where he excels. And that's, I mean, a lot of teams still run a lot of zone coverage, but the Lions are one of the few in the NFL that are extremely man-heavy. Almost 50% of their snaps are going to be man coverage. Greedy Williams is the quintessential long, athletic press corner that you can play matchups with in terms of he'll take the big receiver from that other team. And that's, they do that in Detroit. You know, Matt Patricia does that. Coming from Bill Belichick, he will play the matchups with his cornerbacks. He gives you that long matchup corner to go against the other team's big physical wide receiver and be able to slow him down. We saw him handle DK Metcalf fairly well in their matchup a season ago.
I like it. So if we were doing team-based draft boards, we have to put one generic board out for PFF. If we were doing that, Greedy Williams would be above Byron Murphy for the Lions,
yes,
and a few other teams. So that is some insight into just how NFL teams build their boards and where they, you know, how that really plays out. There's no generic draft board that fits for all 32 teams. I'm now up at number 9 for the Buffalo Bills, and I am loving some of the options I have here. I know we should do 7 rounds just so I could prove to Bills fans.
Yeah.
I know Bills fans want offensive talent. I know they want playmakers and offensive line and all that stuff to build around Josh Allen. But I've been pounding the table for Byron Murphy to play corner in that scheme. They brought in Kevin Johnson. They're not tied to him opposite Tre'Davious White, right? Byron Murphy opposite Tre'Davious White in that scheme would be fantastic. I know there's rumors about Ed Oliver now potentially being a Buffalo Bill. I don't hate the defensive line talent there either. But I'm going corner. I'm going Byron Murphy, the Washington corner, who I think is the best zone corner in the draft, going to a zone-heavy team, the Buffalo Bills, number 9 overall. One of my favorite fits in the entire draft.
I was just going to say, you're predictable, Steve. You're very predictable.
That's fine.
I saw that coming a mile
away. I'm not predictable. I'm consistent. I'm consistent. Well, I'm inconsistent. I went DK Metcalf at 7. How predictable am I, Mike?
Getting nuts.
Byron Murphy's off the board here.
I don't. If you're a Bills fan, you're thinking, oh, no, we need this offensive player. We need that, you know, on offense. I think you did an all right job this offseason of sort of hitting your offensive needs. Now, you could get better at wide receiver. You could get better at offensive line. But I do think you want to hit best player available here at 9. You're not in a position where there's such a glaring need that something has to be upgraded. You have to reach for something here.
Right.
I think Byron Murphy's the best player on the board in terms of how he fits that scheme defensively. And who wouldn't want a better defense? You know, you can be very good in pass coverage, but you can also be the Seattle Seahawks, where you're dominant for 4 to 5 years if you have legitimate, all, you know, Pro Bowl type players at both corner positions, at your safety positions. If that's right. Your secondary,
you truly
you will
can't
be,
have too exactly. many good corners. That truly is a position where it's relevant. But also, I do think the strength of the draft, you can get more, an extra wide receiver or some tight ends mm-hmm. on the turn, you know, in the second and third rounds.
All right. Looking at the 10th overall pick, Denver Broncos. This one, I have a number of different ways I can go here. I love the defensive talent on the interior, whether it's Jerry Tillery, Ed Oliver. I think both of those would fit a need for them in terms of interior disruption, pass rush to go alongside Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. I think DeAndre Baker can make a lot of sense in terms of their secondary is not terribly good at the moment after this past off season.
They've gone from just Chris Harris to Tlaib and a good Bradley Roby to, mm-hmm. you know, they spent a lot of money on Kareem Jackson opposite Chris Harris. Some question marks there.
So question marks there, but I'm going to go with Devin White, the LSU linebacker, to pair in Vic Fangio's scheme. They needed to get more athletic at the position, at linebacker, need a guy who can cover ground in Vic Fangio's defense. That's Devin White. Fangio went with Roquan Smith, top 10 a season ago. He worked out pretty well for them. Devin White this year, I think, is a perfect fit for that defense.
Did you even consider Dwayne Haskins there?
I considered Dwayne Haskins, but I'm probably not going to consider him until midway through the first round, to late first round. I just don't want to pencil him in as my guy. If I'm doing it at 10, you're penciling him in as your guy. I don't want to do that with Dwayne Haskins. He's not that good. He's not that type of quarterback to me.
Can we do a little reset here?
Yes,
go ahead. People? Let's do a little reset. Here's where we are. Number one overall, Arizona Cardinals, I took Kyler Murray. Number two, San Francisco 49ers, you took Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. Three, I took Josh Allen to the Jets. Four, you took Quinnen Williams to the Raiders. Five, the Bucks. We took Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle. You went offensive tackle with the Giants at six, Jawan Taylor from Florida. Seven, Jaguars. I took wide receiver DK Metcalf. Eight, Lions. You took cornerback Greedy Williams. I went corner at nine for the Buffalo Bills with Byron Murphy. And then number 10, Denver Broncos. You just took a linebacker.
Linebacker.
Devin White. That is the Bengals' perfect pick, right, at number 11.
Yes, I did take him right off the board before you could have just...
Yes.
Run in with your card there, unfortunately.
But now that I'm the Bengals at 11 and the board has fallen this way, now Dwayne Haskins is up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting him to be there if I'm the Bengals at 11. I'm not completely sold on Andy Dalton, year 8 in his career here. Mm-hmm. I think quarterback's the place you have to take shots. I'm taking a shot on Dwayne Haskins. That's it. Dwayne Haskins to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think there's a chance this is actually how things fall in real life here. Because if the Cardinals don't take Haskins, then it's on the Giants maybe, right? And if they truly aren't sold on Dwayne Haskins, we're looking at the Broncos and Bengals potentially taking him. And then the Dolphins at 13. So I'm taking Haskins, bringing him in and seeing if he's my next guy at quarterback for the Bengals and maybe flipping Andy Dalton soon.
Yeah, I mean, I already gave my Haskins take, but I do think the Bengals are in a market for a quarterback. I think if you are the Bengals, you're not comfortable enough with Andy Dalton to just say he's our guy. No, we're not going to address quarterback in the first round. Everything should be on your board. So if you are high on Haskins, high enough to take him top 10, if you're the Bengals, you should be able to take him. You should want, if he falls to you, probably unrealistic him falling there in real life, but if he falls to you, they should be willing to pull the trigger.
All right, so Dwayne Haskins to the Bengals. That's my pick.
All right, number 12, probably another one here where we may deviate from the overall consensus.
I know where you're going here.
It's a guy that I've loved the fit for a long time now. I think he could be there when they actually get their other first-round pick, the Green Bay Packers, at number 30. But Jerry Tillery, the Notre Dame defensive tackle, I think he is that good. I've explained why he's that good. There's an article up on the website right now for me calling him a top 10 player in this draft class. He had the highest pass rushing grade, tied with Quinnen Williams in the nation among interior players last year. And oh yeah, that's tied for the highest passing grade we've ever seen from an interior player in a single season in the time since we've started grading games in 2014. He's that good. He went to the combine, was freakishly athletic there. 6'6", long arms. Not a lot of question marks for his game in my book after that.
Wow.
There he is, number 12.
Jerry Tillery.
And fits a need. So they still need that guy opposite Mike Daniels along that defensive line. to play in that base 3-4 defense that Mike Pettine loves to run.
How similar is Tillery to your guy Chris Jones? You were the one pounding the table for Chris Jones a couple years ago. You weren't the only one. PFF grades backed it up. Your own evaluation backed it up. You wanted to call him a top five player in the draft. That's what he's become.
I think he's very close. Chris Jones came out a little heavier, but Chris Jones, if you watched him this past year, he slimmed down this past year. I think he was playing, he looked like he was playing under 300 pounds this past year. And, oh, by the way, he also coincided with his best pass rushing grade of his career, you know, 16 sacks or whatever he did have. I think that is Tillery's projection to the NFL. Not necessarily, I'm not saying he's going to be Chris Jones, but I think the pass rushing at 290 plus pounds at 6'6 is there. He has a handful of pass rushing moves already and was very consistent game in, game out in being their best pass rushing threat there along Notre Dame's defensive line. I just think that all that whole package that he is at this moment is very translatable to the NFL.
You just took Jerry Tillery over Ed Oliver.
Correct.
That's where they're ranked on our draft board as well.
Yes.
We're going to have Oliver a little bit lower than some other people, despite what happened at his pro day. But he's a tempting player now at this point in the draft. Highest player remaining on our draft board, Jeffrey Simmons. We have an asterisk next to his name because of the ACL.
Yes.
And so Jeffrey Simmons is the top player on the board if you're keeping track at home, which is very difficult to do, I understand. All right. Number 13, the Miami Dolphins are on the board. I am debating between Ed Oliver and the guy that's just slightly above him on our draft board, Brian Burns from Florida State. I'm also looking at offensive tackle, but that would be a need pick to fill that right tackle spot for me.
Yes.
Dolphins are in bring in talent mode. Bring in good players no matter where you could find them, so I'm going Brian Burns. The edge defender from Florida State, we're copying and pasting him over here with the Dolphins. They're weak on the defensive fronts. They're weak all over the place. We might be in two-year tank mode if I'm the Dolphins. By the way, from a quarterback, if you're looking at quarterbacks based from a PFF perspective, the next guys off the board, we're looking at Will Greer, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. They're not.
Will Greer is 24th on our big board.
Right. We don't necessarily have them as – we definitely don't have Daniel Jones or Drew Locke as high first-round picks like a lot of people do. So that's where we are right now on that. So the Dolphins, I'm not looking at quarterback. I'm not reaching for a QB. I'm going Brian Burns, the edge from Florida State, who led the nation in pressures among all edge defenders last year during the regular season.
Definitely fits a need. Got rid of Robert Quinn this offseason. Charles Harris has just not been that guy for them after they took him in the first round a couple years ago. Really has not translated much, if at all, to the NFL field. Unfortunate, we had him graded highly coming out, so that's not great for us. But Brian Burns graded well. Very athletic, tested very well, little undersized, but I think you've already seen him get bigger from his sophomore year to his junior year. I think he's only continue. He has the body type where he can continue to add weight to his frame. I think he's probably the best edge after Nick Bosa and Josh Allen in this class.
Had a couple of nice reps against your number six overall pick, Juwan Taylor, there.
Yes, he
did. Florida. His career.
He definitely did. All right, on to number 14, Atlanta Falcons, and this is where Ed Oliver comes off the board.
Yeah.
Falcons have very much prided themselves on adding athleticism to their defense. That has been their type. They have added athletes at every single level. They very much look at testing, and I can't really argue too much with the results before last year when sort of the wheels came off with injuries, but the guys that they've added to that defense have made them one of the better defenses in the NFL when fully healthy, but still someone across from someone to pair with Grady Jarrett has been a need. Jarrett can even play the nose tackle, has played the nose tackle in that defense, so I'm not too worried about Ed Oliver's size and not being able to play him pretty much anywhere else other than three technique. I think he can fit into that defense still and just add some pass rushing prowess, some run defensive prowess. I think he's a little bit of rejection, might not be there year one, but I think down the line you're still getting a good player.
Atlanta's an interesting team. They remind me of the Steelers a little bit, where it feels like they're always in need of just pass rushing talent. For the Steelers, it's more like replacing edge defenders every year.
Yeah.
It's not that the Falcons haven't completely missed on guys, but Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, they just haven't really hit.
Yeah.
Grady Jarrett has been a hit, but the whole defensive line has just been this place where it feels like you get a year of Dontari Poe here, and you know, so they just always need to bring talent in, and I think Ed Oliver is a great fit there, as you said, to pair with Grady Jarrett. Continue to build that defensive front in Atlanta. All right, at 15, I'm the Washington Redskins. Here's what I would do. I would probably try to trade for Josh Rosen, take care of that quarterback situation. We can't
do
that.
Allow it.
We can't do that today. We have a guy on our draft board, DeAndre Baker from Georgia, the cornerback, fell a little bit the last time we rejigged the board a little bit, but I've always been pretty happy with him. I still think he's a first-round corner. I'm looking at him versus the glaring need that is wide receiver for Washington, but I think the drop-off at cornerback potentially is significant. So I'm taking Baker, DeAndre Baker from Georgia. He's the corner that I'm going to take, and if I'm Washington, if we did get to a second round, there is a plethora of talented wide receivers that I could probably take second and third round, and I'm happy there. So that's why I got to go DeAndre Baker here, shore up a little bit of that pass coverage on the back end. You can never have too many corners. So DeAndre Baker's my guy at 15 for the Skins.
Yeah, I think you're the Redskins, you're in a position where you add valuable positions because it's not happening this year. With no Alex Smith, you don't go for need. I mean, even though you have needs on the roster, don't draft for need. Draft valuable positions, talented players at those positions, and hope you hit on them, because adding, you know, cornerstone type guys, not necessarily, oh, let me get this guard because we need a guard. Draft a cornerstone position, draft a cornerback, edge rusher, wide receiver, something like that, that will be valuable to your team for years to come.
Should we switch what happens here? Because you had the Giants at 6.
Oh, yes, we should. You should take the Panthers.
So I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers here at 16 as well. So Mike is, you're our multiplayer team drafter here.
Yes.
So you're going to take all of the Giants 2 picks, the Packers 2 picks, and the Raiders 3 picks.
Nice.
So I get the Panthers. I get back-to-back here. I get the Panthers at 16.
This is kind of tough the way the board fell for the Panthers. I'm not sure.
I would have loved Brian Burns might be this best-case scenario for them because they would love an edge. He's off the board. Jeffrey Simmons still sitting there atop our board, but I'm considering some of the injury stuff and which team do I really want to take that risk with, even though he's at the top of our board. Offensive tackle, potentially a spot here for the Panthers. There's 3 guys to look at. Darrell Williams at right tackle is only locked up for 1 more year. There's still questions along that offensive line. I think that's where I'm going to go, Mike. I think that's the place to go.
O-line. So, yeah, Darrell Williams, 1 year, very big injury risk there. Taylor Mouton was very good at right tackle a season ago. I think they have planned to move him back to left if Williams is back in the fold, and Khalil out now. So you can't have too much talent offensive line with Cam Newton, with the way he plays and with how injured he's been over the past handful of years. I think something to protect him. I would not argue with you if you did.
Here's where I might go away from our board and go to the guy that has a little bit more positional versatility, I think, in Dalton Risner from Kansas State. Our board's telling me Andre Dillard from Washington State. He's a tackle only. Risner, I think, can play anywhere along the offensive line. It gives me some flexibility. If I bring Moton and Darrell Williams back, I can move Risner to one of the interior positions. I'm going Dalton Risner. He was a right tackle at Kansas State. Incredible career there in the Big 12. But he's given me a little bit more positional versatility, so I'm taking Dalton Risner from K-State at 16 to the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. Our projections of analytics love him in terms of how he projects to the next level. I'm not sure he's necessarily the best tackle prospect in terms of that, but I think he's going to be a very good guard, a very good center if that's where you want to play him. I think he could be a good tackle as well. The Panthers are, and like what we just sort of mentioned, the Panthers, they need some offensive line help with how good McCaffrey and that Newton combo is running the football. It's one of those teams where I think having a strong offensive line can take your running game to the next level, can take you to this dominant run game if you have a dominant offensive line with that option stuff that they do run.
All right. So you're up again.
Up with the Giants again, and here's where I'm building for the future. I'm willing to take a shot on Jeffrey Simmons with that injury because...
Wow, there it is.
Like I said, you're not building for this year if you're the New York Giants. He is a top 10 player when on the field. He tore an ACL this offseason. Could still be back for 2019. I don't even think you need him to be back for 2019. If you're the Giants, you can say, hey, take a whole year, get that knee right, and then come back to us in 2020 when we're back ready to compete, when we're back on the upswing of a rebuild, and then you get 2 blue chip players in Juwan Taylor and Jeffrey Simmons along the line of scrimmage, where Dave Gettleman loves to get his guys.
Simmons to the Giants, it's not bad. I mean, if you are going to sacrifice a quarterback, getting Juwan Taylor at tackle and Jeffrey Simmons at interior D line, not the worst place in the world to go. All right, you're on the clock again. Sorry. So now
I am
back
on
to
the
you
clock.
Got even.
Yes.
So you're looking at the Vikings. I'm looking at the Titans at 19.
I go O-line, and I go best O-line available. Again,
yes.
They can draft tackle here and move Riley Reiff to guard. You have flexibility with some of those guys. I'm going to draft Andre Dillard. I'm going to throw him at left tackle. I'm going to put Riley Reiff at left guard, and I'm going to pray that Andre Dillard can come in and be a plus pass protector.
Have to take a shot at O-line.
He's the most accomplished pass protector in this class in terms of he was taken 600-plus pass sets for the last 3 years at Washington State at tackle position. So
and performed really well.
And performed really well. Highest pass blocking grade in the nation this past season. Tested out through the roof, freakish testing numbers, has all the traits you want from a tackle. So from that perspective, I feel very confident in his projection from tackle to from college to the NFL. I went Juwan Taylor earlier because I think Juwan Taylor, he's on the right side already. Giants, you need a right tackle. That pushes him over, pushes him up a little in my board just because I don't want to be switching sides with guys. Dillard, though, been at left tackle, done it. Makes sense for the Vikings.
I like it. We'll recap in a minute here, but number 19, the Tennessee Titans are now on the clock. A couple different ways I can go here, but I'm loving the way the wide receiver board's falling. I think the Titans are in position to just add playmakers, give Hall of Famer Corey Davis some help.
Yes.
That's what he needs. So we're going to go A.J. Brown from Ole Miss. The next two receivers on our board are A.J. Brown and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I don't like Arcega-Whiteside paired with Marcus Mariota as a contested catch guy. I need a guy that can get open a little bit better than that. That's A.J. Brown. He can win from the slot. He can win from the outside. We are loading up on playmakers in Tennessee. So A.J. Brown, Ole Miss wide receiver now off the board to the Titans at 19.
A.J. Brown took over for D.K. Metcalf when he got hurt in that outside receiver role and averaged 128 yards a game in that role. He's not a slot only. Freak athlete in his own right, 4.4940, 6.8.93 cone at 226 pounds. Over the yards he put up in the SEC, there's not a lot of guys do that. It's a tough conference to pass the football in with all the athletes that get drafted defensively, as we've already seen here, and he did it. Only a junior, already just still young. I mean, there's a lot of reason to like A.J. Brown as a first rounder.
So I like that fit there for the Tennessee Titans. Let me just recap the last. Back to pick 10 here.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals at 11 took Dwayne Haskins. Packers at 12, you took Jerry Tillery, the defensive lineman from Notre Dame. 13, the Miami Dolphins take Brian Burns, the edge. 14, you took Ed Oliver, Atlanta Falcons, interior D lineman. I went with, for the Redskins, cornerback DeAndre Baker at 15. And then I also took offensive tackle Dalton Risner for the Panthers at 16. Your back-to-back picks, New York Giants, Jeffrey Simmons. So the Giants now have Jeffrey Simmons, D lineman, and Juwan Taylor, offensive tackle. You went with Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle out of Washington State, to the Vikings at 18. And I'm taking, for the Tennessee Titans, A.J. Brown, wide receiver, Ole Miss. And now we're at 20.
20 with Steelers. The Steelers. And the way this has set up, I think there's one pick that makes a ton of sense for the Steelers.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Devin Bush, linebacker out of Michigan, perfect fit for them defensively. They've been missing dearly athleticism in the middle of that defense ever since Ryan Shazier had his injury. Devin Bush is that level of an athlete, and I think can add some from a blitzing perspective, too, that they could also use in that defense and will use in that defense. So Devin Bush is the pick.
Look, they needed the speed. They've been trying to shore up the back. I mean, the whole defense in Pittsburgh has been, it has felt like they're good enough to beat up bad quarterbacks, but anytime they run into a half-decent passing attack, they're in trouble. So that's whether they need to upgrade at edge or at corner or speed in the back seven at linebacker. They have to take those opportunities. Devin Bush, I like the fit there quite a bit. Some things are happening here. Seattle Seahawks at 21.
Mm-hmm.
As I've mock drafted to the Seattle Seahawks in the past, before we rejigged the board, this felt like a great place for them to attack edge.
Yes.
To help Frank Clark there. Now, we've moved some of those edge defenders down as we have more information on them. We've moved a few safeties up.
We have.
Two safeties who have legitimate free safety skills make up two out of the next four players on our draft board. So the next players on our draft board, wide receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford, Cody Ford, the guard slash tackle from Oklahoma. We always know Seattle could use some help on the offensive line, but the two safeties, Nasir Adderley from Delaware and Darnell Savage from Maryland, legit free safety skills.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas is gone.
Mm-hmm.
They play this cover three scheme. Everybody's trying to duplicate what they need, a true free safety.
Yes.
What if they go free safety here?
What if? I mean, if you really are high on these guys, and we are high on these, I don't think Tedrick Thompson, Delano Hill, Bradley McDougal is really stopping me from attacking that position in the draft with how valuable we've seen it be in that defense.
So I'm going safe. Arcega Whiteside, by the way, pairing him with Russell Wilson would be beautiful because you do need that quarterback that's going to take some chances, throw those tight window throws, and let a guy go up and make plays. Russell Wilson does that extremely well. Not just jump balls, like actually gives guys opportunities to make plays. I love that fit potentially. But, man, I'm looking at this defense. Nasir Adderley's free safety skills are great. Darnell Savage's athleticism is great. Now I just don't know which one to pick.
You got to, Steve. If your clock's ticking down, the Ravens are sitting there at 22 ready
minutes.
To hand
I
in
have
their
10
card.
10 minutes here. All right. I'm going Nasir Adderley from Delaware. He's going to step in at free safety for the Seattle Seahawks. He has the type of range to be at least 80% of Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which they haven't had every time Earl Thomas has been hurt. So that's a bit of a curveball. I don't think that's happened in a whole lot of mock drafts. But no. I'm going Adderley, the free safety, to the Seattle Seahawks.
And like I said, the safety group there is not stopping me from drafting a safety if I think Nasir Adderley has true center field skills. And I mean, he does. We've seen it at Delaware. Freakish range, freakish burst to cover the seam there in that cover three. I think he's a fit for that defense.
Yeah, so that's...
There you have it.
That's it. So
22.
Ravens are up.
Baltimore Ravens on the clock. And I love the idea of beefing up the offensive line in Baltimore, getting another guy in there at guard, a dominant run blocker in someone like Cody Ford.
Oh, no.
To then just solidify that offensive line, go five across in guys that, and just bully teams in the run game. Because that's how you have to play it. We've said the run game's not as valuable, but when you can utilize your quarterback in a system that the Ravens ran a season ago, you saw how much that can transform your rushing attack to a viable. You're never going to be the Kansas City Chiefs with a rushing attack in the NFL. You're never going to be that level of offense, but you can still run a top 10 offense with a run heavy approach. And with Lamar Jackson, I think that is the way you want to go. Receiver gets devalued in a system like that. Offensive lineman gets valued. Cody Ford, the best offensive lineman available on our board right now, is the pick.
You're
He's
all
22nd
about
on our big board. So 22nd to 22nd. The perfect value.
That is perfect value right there. You are all about that build in the run game in Baltimore. Or at least buying into it.
Yes.
If you're going to commit to it, then completely buy in. So that part makes sense. That's leaving me with some question marks here. The Houston Texans at 23.
I really did just hose
you took our last first round tackle or guard off the board.
Mm-hmm.
There's a first round center remaining in Elton Jenkins. So there's,
but you got Nick Martin. Yeah, that's probably the one.
Nick Martin's at center, right?
Yeah.
So Houston, who we continue to pencil in at least an offensive tackle, most likely an offensive tackle, now has no good first round options. The next guy on our board is Greg Little. We have a second round grade on him. I don't want to stretch and reach for him. It has left a couple interesting scenarios here, though. By the way, you may have noticed Montez Sweat is not off the board for us. That Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary, are they the two biggest names that are not off the board yet that, based off our board, might not make it off the board here?
Yeah, I think those are the two biggest names. Obviously, besides the quarterbacks, in terms of Drew Lock, Daniel Jones,
could also go first round.
But I don't think maybe Josh Jacobs could be in the first round conversation if a team really wants to go end up doing that. But yes, Rashawn Gary, Montez Sweat, we have second round grades on at the moment. That's just where we see those players at.
So you might not hear their names called in our first round mock draft. I'm going to debate right now for the Houston Texans between J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, big-bodied receiver opposite DeAndre Hopkins, with Will Fuller still in the, you know, not in the slot, but still as that deep threat.
Yeah.
I think there's a way for those three to mix. However, I also like the idea of tight end in the Houston scheme. Either way, I think it's got to be an offensive pick that's either going to protect Deshaun Watson or give him somebody to throw to. In this sense, I think Arcega-Whiteside might be a little bit too close to DeAndre Hopkins stylistically.
Okay.
So I'm going Hawkinson. So I'm taking, I know you're not going to ever draft a tight end in the first round, Mike, but I'm doing it. I'm taking TJ Hawkinson, the Iowa tight end. I think this is where his value starts to be proper.
Okay.
In the 20s, good all-around tight end. He's a fantastic run blocker, for whatever that's worth. Fun to watch.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that good analysis? Fun to watch. Enjoyable watching him in the run game. But a stretch the seam type of guy, can work the short and intermediate game. Will Fuller's the deep threat. DeAndre Hopkins, the uber possession receiver. So I think you're starting to round out a pretty good group of playmakers in Houston.
Yeah, I don't hate it there. Hawkinson would have been on my board for 24 at the Raiders. I think that's a position that they could have used as well. But I do think, again, they use when you use they use those tight ends in they in a quarterback running offense, you know, when you're doing a lot of option heavy stuff, you could do a lot of things with your tight ends from a run blocking perspective and then from a receiving perspective that really can confuse teams if you have a good one. So I think from that perspective, it makes sense for the Texans.
All right, you're up now again.
24 Raiders on the clock. Left me with, let's see, the highest players left on our board right now. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Darnell Savage, Christian Wilkins. I already went defensive tackle, though. Elkton Jenkins high on the board, but they already have a good center there in Oakland. So this one's tough. I'm not exactly sure where I want to go on this board. Darnell Savage doesn't make a ton of sense after you sign LaMarcus Joyner. Already have Carl Joseph on the roster. I might end up going and reaching for a cornerback here because of the positional value. We have these guys a little lower on our board.
It's not a reach, though.
But I'm not. I was going to say, I don't think it's a huge reach down compared to the other guys on our board, especially with what they could, with the need they have there. So I'm going to pencil in a big-bodied, long corner with some perceived upside here. Imani Oruwariye out of Penn State, fantastic athlete, did the best of any of the corners in the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl. Very smooth hips. Some projection, did not have the highest grade last season for Penn State, but I love the traits translating to the NFL. And again, a guy who might not have it year one, but I think can develop into that guy down the road in a value position for Oakland.
Definitely like Oruwariye. And again, if you're building long-term, you know, look, our analytics guys would be saying the whole draft board's going to be QBs and corners in the first. If a guy's a second-round corner, move him up to the first from a value standpoint. Mm-hmm. Then it's not a bad pick because we put a second-round grade on him. That's where I'm kind of leaning right now with the next pick at 25 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Darnell Savage at safety is our, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, still our top two guys that we're looking at on the draft board. I could go Arcega-Whiteside here as well. I'm just not willing to make the move on him, I guess.
Yeah. Pull the trigger, Steve.
He could be the next Alshon Jeffery to replace Alshon Jeffery in Philadelphia. However,
I'm not going to try to convince you. You're like looking at me to try to convince you of something.
I'm just talking it out.
Okay.
I'm just talking it out. However, I might look at corner as well for Philadelphia.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with a guy that we have a high second round grade on. That's David Long from Michigan. He is sneaking into the first round for us as well because, look, the Eagles need to continue to build that cornerback depth. David Long from Michigan forced incompletion at a higher percentage than anybody else in the nation over the last 3 years that's in this draft class. I'm going David Long for the Eagles. I'm leaving a couple first-round grades on the table to go get the cornerback.
I love David Long. I think if you bring Ronald Darby back, you're not comfortable enough with Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, those young guys yet from what we see of them on the football field to pencil one of them in and feel great about them as a starter. David Long, in my opinion, probably the second best man coverage corner in this draft class. He's a little undersized. I don't love that, but maybe if you want to keep him, start him off in the slot. I think he is that talented in terms of what he can do athletically that man coverage, even at his size, is going to translate to the NFL.
I like it. So you're up. You're up for two picks here, man.
I am up for two picks with the Colts at 26, then the Raiders at 27. Colts at 26. I'm going to be the one to pull the trigger on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside here. You brought in Devin Funchess, but you can't have too many weapons there around.
1 year of Funchess.
Andrew Luck. Yes, only 1 year of Funchess. And you get T.Y. Hilton. You have him as the slot, mover around piece. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you can plug him in on the outside. Contest the catch. Another red zone threat to add to Eric Ebron there in that offense. It's just going to be tough to guard around the goal line. And I think that he fits perfectly with what they already have there offensively.
Wow.
And then so
the Colts definitely need to attack wide receiver. I think the board will fall to a place where a pretty good wide receiver will be there for the Colts at 26. I like that.
And then the Raiders up on the clock at 27. I already had a tough time with a pick before this with their pick of Imani Oruwariye. I am going to go a little off the board here. Not off the board, but off the wall here. And reach for a guy that I kind of like his potential, but Hakeem Butler.
Really?
Out of Iowa State. Pair him with Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, the big-bodied guy in that offense. Just give Garrett Carr basically no excuse. in that offense. If he doesn't do it with this group, he's probably not going to be your guy. Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, Hakeem Butler, that's going to be getting off the bus. That looks good.
So that I like. And again, if you're following along at home with our draft board, you'll see we have Hakeem Butler behind two other receivers on our top 50 board right now. Mm-hmm. Indy Isabella, the wide receiver from UMass, and Marquise Brown from Oklahoma. But Isabella and Brown are both speed, undersized outside guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you just went more stylistically Hakeem Butler to fit in that offense.
Yes.
Over the two guys that are above the board.
Yes.
So that's where best player available does. It takes a bit of a turn because scheme fit and current roster fit do matter.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't always just go down the board because you have to fit all these pieces in.
It's just going to be tough to guard all three of those if you're looking at, you know, an opposing defense from a matchup perspective. What kind of answer do you have for, but you know, Brown, Williams, and Butler?
That's where I feel good about Hakeem Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off the board. That's where I feel pretty good. I've got back-to-back picks now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the Chargers at 28 and the Chiefs at 29. I think this could be a jackpot for both teams. The Chargers now, a couple different ways they can go. Darnell Savage, the safety from Maryland, is a top player on our board. I love him. Could you imagine him and my boy Derwin James on the back end?
It's a lot of ground being covered, yeah.
That is so tantalizing right now. But I still think I'm going to go defensive interior. This is where I think the Chargers have had issues for years. I can debate between the two Clemson guys. Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence are our next two interior defensive linemen. I think Christian Wilkins brings a little bit more versatility there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going Christian Wilkins. Clemson interior defensive lineman. He's going to the Chargers at 28. He went to Clemson already. But he's going at 28. I did debate between him and Dexter Lawrence. I wanted to put Darnell Savage together with Derwin James. But now Darnell Savage is going to the Chiefs.
Okay.
So the Chiefs just need anybody that can cover anything on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
They've been looking for a safety. Darnell Savage, rangy safety to the Chiefs. At 29, and this is only because we started stealing second round corners off the draft board. So
yes,
yeah, we need to.
I
need to grab a safety instead.
I like Savage there. I would have liked Savage and with the Chargers as well, but I do think he's very much worthy of a first round selection
for sure.
All right,
fourth sub 4.4 speed. That shows up on the field. I mean, he just accelerates through the catch point. Darnell Savage from Maryland.
And yeah, the Chiefs anywhere in that secondary qualifies as need at this point.
Three picks left. You get the Packers now for you. You have the Packers. I have the Rams. And then you have the Patriots to round this thing out.
All right. At number 30 overall, the Green Bay Packers. We're going to go wide receiver. We're going to go Andy Isabella. Article coming out on the website tomorrow about how he's worthy of a first-round pick. But you want to pencil him in the slot? Fine, he can go play in the slot there in Green Bay because they have a need. But he is more than just a slot receiver but as a vertical down-the-field weapon from the slot, he can do a lot of things that Brandon Cooks can do, a lot of things that Tyreek Hill can do in terms of challenging safeties with that speed. The fastest 40 of any wide receiver in this class shows up repeatedly on tape. If you don't get hands at him, if he gets a step on you, your toast. Andy Isabella to the Packers, adding some much-needed speed along with Davante Adams there.
Do you know what you've done now?
What have I done?
With the Packers?
Jerry Tillery and Andy Isabella. They went.
When did that happen?
In your last mock.
My last mock. Jerry Tillery at 12, Andy Isabella at 30. Get ready for the Packers hate. Fans were not happy.
Yeah.
Isabella, this receiver I've never heard of.
He's worth it.
I just went Boston on you. But I like those two picks for the Packers. I'm now the Rams at 31. We got two picks left. Rams at 31. Man, I got a couple to choose from here.
Yeah.
I do want to replace John Sullivan at center, but I don't think I'm going to do it with Elgin Jenkins. I think I've got some other places that I want to go. I want to get him in the first round. He's got a first round grade for us. Chase Winovich from Michigan. He's the next edge off our board. He's ahead of Cleveland Farrell, Zach Allen, and Montez Sweat on our board as of right now. Dexter Lawrence is also tempting right here for the Rams, but I'm going Chase Winovich, Michigan edge defender, the best edge defender to come out of Michigan in the draft right now, gets after the quarterback. He can win in the run game. The Rams have had this need at edge for a while with Aaron Donald tearing things up on the interior. Pair Winovich with Dante Fowler.
I just went full.
I watched three at-bats of baseball this weekend. Dexter Fowler had one of them, and it got stuck in my head. Dante Fowler, of course, on the edge with Chase Winovich. I like the fit there for the Rams.
Yeah, I like the fit. I think Garrett Bradbury could be high on their board as well, just because of how much of a zone center he is. That's pretty much the only scheme I would want him in with his size. But that's what the Rams run. He would make a lot of sense for them there as
well.
We
have a second round grade on Bradbury, but for the Rams, he'd be a first round grade for us if we were doing team boards.
Yes. So that one's close. We can't argue with the edge need. If they did have someone else to rush the passer, pretty much anyone else to rush the passer there, that defensive line would be terrifying for opposing offenses. Right now, it's pretty much just Aaron Donald and, Sue was something last year, but not anything special rushing the passer. If they had anyone, it would be tough to defend. So can't argue with that. Winovich has produced at an extremely high level his entire college career, and then he tested freakishly at the combine. So not a ton of question marks with him.
So I'm going Winovich.
32nd.
Did that
pick.
Surprise you that he tested well? That confirmed a lot of things. We saw it on film with Winovich.
Yeah, I thought he was a good athlete. It was better. He did test better than I expected, though.
To see that, though. Patriots at 32. Round it out, Mike.
Patriots at 32. I think the way the board is shaping up here could either go, I think, along the defensive line is still where the value is in this draft class. And I think I've said this all along, Dexter Lawrence is a disruptor on the interior, only 21 years old, nose tackle, is more than just a placeholder. And the Patriots love interior pressure. They love nose tackles. They trade a third rounder for Danny Shelton, who's not near the athlete that Dexter Lawrence is. So if they're trading a third rounder for 1 year of Danny Shelton, I think they would easily take Dexter Lawrence in the first round, and I'd be willing to, too, in that defense. So Dexter Lawrence is your pick at number 32.
Yeah, I did a breakdown on our YouTube channel comparing Dexter Lawrence actually to Danny Shelton and to Vita Vea, the other 340-pound guys that went in the first round a couple years ago. Vita Vea and Dexter Lawrence both have a great combination of both run-stopping grade and pass rush grade, where Shelton was well below in pass rush grade.
Yes.
And so Shelton didn't really justify a first-round pick. I think Vita Vea will. Mm-hmm. I think Dexter Lawrence also will because of the ability to play three downs.
Yeah, and Lawrence and Vita Vea athletically nowhere in different worlds than Danny Shelton was. He did 36 bench reps and ran a 5.05, Dexter Lawrence did, with almost 35-inch arms. He is a absurdly large human being. You could even just be like, hey, drop 20 pounds and play, three tech first. You could get him to trim weight, I would imagine, and he would be even better. But that 36 bench reps that's a big, nice number for a 21-year-old.
Yeah, and since he was a true freshman, he was right up there with Ed Oliver as far as production goes. He tapered off a little bit in the run game compared to Oliver, but as a pass rusher, he's been similar from a PFF pass rush standpoint. So that's your first round. What do we want to do? We put the whole thing on YouTube. We'll put the whole thing in an article. So if you guys are listening to the podcast and you want to rehash it, it'll be on profootballfocus.com. We'll have the YouTube video. If you're watching live, you'll be able to rewatch it, see what your team did, put some graphics behind it so you can visualize what happened. I think to recap briefly, though, three guys with first-round grades still on the board. Will Greer, quarterback, who I think for the Patriots would have been a nice pick there if they're going to look for their next guy. Marquise Brown, the wide receiver
from
Oklahoma.
Brady's playing 5 more years, though, so I don't want to ruin his contract.
8 years. Yeah. Marquise Brown, the wide receiver from Oklahoma, and Elton Jenkins from Mississippi State. The center, as we said, Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary, not going to be in our first round. They're going to have second round grades for us. N'Keal Harry, second round grade. Drew Locke from Missouri, the quarterback, second round grade. Daniel Jones, more of a late second, early third round grade for us, just for some perspective.
Josh
Jacobs, not even close because he's a running back, even though he's the top running back on our board. I think he's up around 60 or so in our rankings. If you're looking at the second round here, there's some good, based off our board, some tackle, edge defender, and safety depth in the second round. So if you are, we talked about this in the podcast the other day, Cowboys, Browns, Saints, and Bears, who are in the third round, if you're looking for some depth in where you might go, those are the positions of value. Right. And that was fun. Good work, Mike.
Yes.
A little head-to-head mock draft live on YouTube on a Monday morning. Special thanks to all of our podcast listeners. We'll be back again later in the week. We'll do another draft show. We'll have you back again. No Sam this week for all you guys that hate Sam. Nobody hates Sam, right?
That's not true. There are people that definitely
Some
hate
people
Sam.
Are a little upset at Sam. But we'll have Mike again later in the week. A little bit more draft discussion. Thanks for tuning in. And, of course, let us know what you think in the comments below, how we just made your team better. Thanks for listening, guys. quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.